questions about his faith. It's in this last realm of professions that I first encountered the influence of C.S. Lewis. In August of 1973, I'd been an ambitious attorney. I'd worked as special counsel for President Nixon in the White House. That tumultuous year, that summer of 1973, the head of a large electronics firm handed me a book, small, lightweight, less than 200 pages, the title Mere Christianity. I read it and I thought about it and prayed over it and ultimately underwent a dramatic conversion to Christ. I will always be grateful for the uncommon clarity and accessible doctrine presented in that C.S. Lewis classic. Another classic entitled The Four Loves showcases that same kind of clear-thinking brilliance. Originally published in 1960, this Anatomy of Love was written during the period of Lewis's late-in-life marriage to American Joy Davidman. With authority, warmth, and humor, he reflects on the four basic kinds of human love: affection, friendship, eros, and charity. He explores the promise and peril of these loves, showing how each is able to merge into one another. Lewis argues that along with the rewards of love, there are risks, but he recommends taking them, saying the only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. He concludes it's the divine likeness in all our human loves that's reflective of their heavenly element. Only what's heaven-like can enter heaven. All else, when shaken, will fall. Therefore, any love that's allowed to be a proper love for someone or something has a heavenly element and is, in fact, also a love for God. What you're about to hear is literally one of a kind. It's the only professional recording of C.S. Lewis's voice in existence today. In 1958, just 5 years before Lewis's death and 2 years before The Four Loves was released in print, he recorded the essence of his future book, reading directly from his original handwritten manuscript. Although recorded in London, these talks in the rich and vibrant voice fondly remembered by thousands of Oxford and Cambridge students reached a nationwide audience in the United States. It was the only time Lewis was presented on radio in America. Dr. Chad Walsh, a Lewis friend and biographer, commented on this series, saying, in a real sense, C.S. Lewis lives again, wise and witty, loving and penetrating, an experienced guide into the human and divine mysteries of love. What better bequest could a man leave the world? Here in the living voice is word of that ultimate love that moves the sun and the other stars, the love that sang the universe into existence. Whether you're just discovering Lewis or have been a longtime reader, we're pleased to offer you the Four Loves teaching series. It comes with a heartfelt prayer that all who participate will be led to a deeper understanding of our love for each other and of God's love for us. As we prepare to begin session one, I'd like to share a bit of C.S. Lewis trivia. It's documented that Lewis's dear friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, author of Lord of the Rings, once chided him for writing so many theological books. "I wish I didn't have to," replied Lewis, "but until the ordained clergy begin to communicate with ordinary people in the vernacular, in a way they can understand, then I'm going to have to do it." Well, as you will hear, Lewis's talent for communicating truth to the masses shines brightly through this series. Listen for his in-depth yet common-sense explanations, for his helpful images, and for his personal experiences. Because love is an often misunderstood and overused word, Lewis has established this discourse on the Greek language. Unlike English, it's much more precise in its use of words. The first session begins with the most humble and widespread of the four loves. In the Greek, it's called storge, and is defined as affection, especially of parents to children. It's believed that whatever tangible and consistent happiness we find in our lives can be explained by affection. It seeps through the whole texture of our lives, and according to Lewis, it's the base for the other loves. But it's not all positive and polite in this study of affection. Lewis is not shy in reviewing the questions of jealousy, possessiveness, and plain old bad manners in the arena of love. These perversions of affection, as Lewis describes them, sneak in when we least expect them, but they deserve our corrective attention. It's noteworthy that C.S. Lewis constantly explores the virtues and dangers of affection in his fiction. For example, in his story, The Great Divorce, the ghost of a mother desires to possess her son even after death.